Please be seated. Today we're finishing our last sermon in the series in the book of Philippians. It's been a joy this summer to go through that book with all of you. And so we'll hear what Paul has to say to this church, this beloved church at Philippi, as he closes. Let's pray. Lord God, we're grateful to be here again on this, the Sabbath day. Thank you for your grace in helping us to make it holy, to set this day apart, to find rest as we surrender into your loving arms. Thank you for blessing us this summer through the book and study of Philippians. Lord, we pray that we would take to heart and begin to live out the encouragement of the Apostle Paul, that we might live lives that bring you glory and honor and advance your kingdom. Thanks, God, for this, the last of these sermons. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, minds to understand, hearts to receive the message herein. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I was excited to find out last week as I was looking at my Facebook page that I have 1,166 friends. Woohoo! How exciting is that? I feel really good about myself, or at least I did for a minute. I began to search through those friends, just curious who was on the list, and I came across Elliot Kolsnick. Never heard of the guy before, but apparently we're friends. I clicked on his profile, and Facebook told me, this account has been deactivated. Only you can see Elliot on your friends list. You have the option to unfriend. Well, of course I'm not going to unfriend. We're friends. Then I scrolled down, and I saw Hunda Waktole, who writes in his profile, I'm safe with you at Lord. Lead me every day. And he's from Ethiopia. Never met the dude. Don't know who he is. I don't even remember accepting a friend request. Or maybe I requested his friendship. The bottom line is, Hunda and I are tight. Then I get to Wayne Kessler. Ah, finally a name I know and I remember. And right on the feed, it says this quote, death takes the body, God takes the soul. Our mind holds the memories, our hearts keep the love, and our faith lets us know we will meet again. And I thought to myself, death takes the body. Well, Wayne should know he died 6 years ago. 1,166 friends. But I started to think as I scrolled down my friends list, well, maybe that's not quite accurate. Well, according to the appeals court in Florida, legally, Facebook friends aren't necessarily your friends. Oh, man. What a bummer. Is this true? See, the court ruled that Facebook data mining and algorithms lead people to accepting friend requests from those they hardly know or who they are only acquainted with in professional circles. Who knew? So Facebook says, I have 1,166 friends. But the good book says something different. You know what I mean by the good book. I'm taking us back a hair. The good book, the Bible, talks about friendship differently. Just from the book of Proverbs, a few samplings. 12 and 26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. 17:17, a friend loves at all times. 18:24, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And 22, 24, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. Maybe I've been going at this all wrong. The Apostle Paul, obviously, as we've learned this summer, has a deep, intimate, vulnerable friendship with the church at Philippi. That's clear. This is one of Paul's favorite places, and these people are some of Paul's favorite people. Let's go back to the beginning, the introduction of the book of Philippians. And if you have your Bibles, you can flip back to chapter 1. There's a pew Bible there in front of you if you'd like to open it. Remember the flowery introduction that Paul gave to this church as he introduces the letter? Verse 3, Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And we learned then, and we remember now, that this word partnership can also be translated as fellowship or sharing in, or maybe best said, friendship. Spiritual friendship. In the closing section here of Philippians, Paul affirms their koinonia, that is partnership, their sharing in, their friendship in the gospel. And in verse 10, Paul says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. It's been a while since Paul has heard from the church at Philippi. Not because they didn't want to share with him, but because they had no opportunity to share with him. But now, having sent Epaphroditus to him, they've been able to share again their concern, their friendship together. And that helps us to understand that the first principle for Paul in friendship is that we show concern for one another. As I looked through my friends on Facebook, I thought to myself, well, I don't think I've even thought about these people, let alone shown concern for them. I was convicted. You see, this is the first time in a long time since he's heard from them, and it's a renewal of their concern. I thought of some friendships in the Bible. What's a great way to talk about or illustrate friendship if we don't go first to the Scriptures? And I thought about the friendship between King David, although not yet king, and Jonathan. Have any of you read about the friendship between Jonathan and King David? Jonathan is King Saul's oldest son. So King Saul and then King David. And so Jonathan befriends David and they begin this friendship. And Jonathan shows concern for Saul. Recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 18, starting at verse 1, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. And, did you hear this? Charles read it for us this morning. And Jonathan loved David as himself. Which leads then to verse 3, Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan then took off his robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. All signs of friendship. I give these to you as a memento, as a representation of my commitment to you. Jonathan, from the very beginning, was showing concern for his friend David. Now, David would be persecuted by Saul, Jonathan's very own father, and Jonathan would hang in there beside David, oftentimes being the intercessor between Saul and David. Jonathan showed great concern, great love, great grace, great mercy to David. This is the kind of friendship, spiritual friendship, that Paul has been sharing with the church at Philippi. And I want to suggest to you that this kind of friendship is all but lost in culture today, mainly because of the pseudo-friendships we find on social media. My sons are 17 and 19 and immersed in social media. They have very few friends that they interact with anymore in person. It's all online. Do you know that they can have a great night together playing games and never be in the presence or see each other? That's weird. For one who grew up actually playing games, you know, like Monopoly and Stratego and Risk. Nobody? Nothing? Nothing? You're not with me? Where you interacted with each other, where you drank Mountain Dew to stay up all night. Okay, I'm a nerd, whatever. But social media has killed friendship. We have all these pseudo-friends, me, 1,166, pseudo-friends. But they show no concern for me, and I show no concern for them. This is a great reminder, I think, of Paul, that spiritual friendship requires togetherness, being with one another, showing vulnerability and intimacy. Secondly, Paul says in verse 14, he says, "It was good of you to share in my troubles." Now, Paul doesn't need the church in Philippi to share with him. In fact, at the end of the last section, verse 13, Paul says, "I am not saying this because I am in need. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength." In the end for Paul, yes, friendship is important, but Christ is more important. But he certainly appreciates the family of God at Philippi. And he says then, not only do we show concern for each other, but we also share life together. "It was good of you," says Paul, "to share in my troubles." So many times today, when we say that I'm struggling or I have trouble or I need help, friends just run away. You find out who your true friends are when you're in that place of suffering and pain and anxiety and maybe depression. And yet, Jesus sets the model and the example for us. The disciples were only a few months with Jesus, maybe not even that long, before Jesus sends them out for the first time, as recorded in our gospel in Mark chapter 6. Jesus is wise when he sends them out. He doesn't send them out one by one, although one might argue that because of the principle of multiplication, that would have been maybe more successful. But he sends them out how? Not one by one, but, are you with me? Two by two. Jesus knows this principle, that two are better than one. As captured, of course, in the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one. Jesus doesn't dare send out the disciples by themselves to preach the gospel. He doesn't dare give them authority over impure spirits. He doesn't give them power to heal unless they are together. Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. This relationship that Paul shares with the church at Philippi is both a giving relationship and a receiving relationship. He's given to them. He's given them the very greatest gift. And that gift is, of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Paul then, in a moment of humility, begins to receive from the church at Philippi. They give back to Paul. They share their lives together. And as we read the book of Philippians, we hear therein the intimate relationship that these share. Not only do we show concern for each other, but we share in each other's lives. This is of vital importance as we think about our spiritual friendships. You know, oftentimes I refer to this, our church, as the body of Christ or the family of God. This is embracing that God has called us to do life together, to enter into one another's lives and to uphold and uplift each other. Now, Paul concludes again this section with a reminder that really, at the end of the day, Christ is all we need. But what a gift it is that Christ has given us his body. Paul says, "What I desire is that more be credited to your account." It means that you grow in your relationship with Jesus. So Paul says twice, one, be concerned for one another, and he thanks the church at Philippi for their concern for him. Not that he needs it, but that he appreciates it. Still, Christ is the head. And two, he says, then friends, share in life together. Not that we need each other in particular, but that Christ is all we need. However, he's given us the gift of his body. And then lastly here, number three, Paul says, friends, support, encourage, and build up. Just in case we've forgotten what friends do or what friends look like. And it's easy to forget what friends do and what friends look like when we depend on social media. Friends dig in with one another. And friends don't tear down, they build up. Paul says to the church here in Philippi, he says, I've received full payment and have more than enough. He's poured himself out to the church at Philippi, and now the church is pouring back into Paul and his ministry, and he says, I have received enough. He says, I am amply supplied now that I received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. And then he talks about this encouragement. He talks about how those gifts built him up. Did you hear it? They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, and pleasing to God. Do you live in your relationships to be a fragrant offering to those you befriend? To those who are sharing life together? To those for whom you have concern? Do you seek to be a fragrant offering to them? He reminds the church in Ephesus, Paul does. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Spiritual friendships are of vital importance as we traverse this life of the Christian faith. Friends show concern for one another. Friends go to those deep, vulnerable, intimate, difficult places. Friends share life together. And friends support, encourage, and build up. Here's my encouragement to you, and I think Paul's for all of us. Don't let Facebook determine for you your friendships. Don't depend on social media to live lives of deep vulnerability and intimacy with the body of Christ. But seek true spiritual friendships. Trust only the good book to guide you. Amen.